Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be, the speakers are going to be preaching on the passage from Matthew 5, as David mentioned. You can open your Bibles up to Matthew 5, verse 13. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
Hi. Morning. Hi. Hi, Brett. So, I'm Blake, and today I want to talk to you about the aroma of and flavor of a Christian. Have you ever thought about what it means to have a distinct aroma or flavor as a Christian? In Matthew 5:13, well, as Titus just read, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." This verse speaks to the idea that Christians are called to add a distinct flavor to the world around them. Salt was a valuable commodity in ancient times that was used to preserve flavor and also preserve the food itself. As Christians, we are called to be a positive influence in the world, to preserve and add flavor to those who are to those who live around us. Similarly, in 2 Corinthians 2:15-17, Paul speaks about the aroma of Christ. He says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life." As Christians, we are called to share the message of Christ with others, and our lives should reflect the character of Christ so that we can bring life to those who are open to the gospel and convict those who are resistant. But what exactly is the aroma and flavor of a Christian? Galatians 5, verses 23-26 give us a clear picture of the characteristics of a Christian who is led by the Holy Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We should bear the fruit that reflects the character of Christ. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control should be evident in our lives. These are the qualities that should make us distinct from the world around us. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, our lives will produce an aroma and flavor that is pleasing to God and attractive to those around us." I have the great pleasure of being friends with some people who possess all of these qualities. One of them always tries her hardest to help others when they are in need or bring about calm when they are angry. She never gets mad or upset with others, and even when things aren't going great with her own life, she helps no matter what. I have another friend who takes time out of his day to make sure that he brings up everyone around him and makes sure everyone around him has joy, even through the conflict and chaos that is high school drama. It's these types of people who stand out, who shine. It is them who spread the aroma of Christ throughout the world. They have the flavor we should all seek to have. Let us be intentional about cultivating these qualities so that we can be a positive influence in the world as our lives reflect the character of Christ. May our lives produce an aroma and flavor that is pleasing to God and attractive to those around us. And may we always remember that we are called to be the salt and the light in the world, and that our purpose is to bring glory to God in all that we do. Thank you very much.
How are you guys doing? Good. Hi, I'm Paulie Palermo, and I'm really, really bad at answering texts. So when David, like Big David, reached out to us and was like, hey, what do you guys want to write about? Like, because we split salt up into four people. I was the last one to respond, and I got stuck with salt preserves. And so I didn't have too big of an issue with it because I find it to be one of the biggest problems in Christian culture today. And so to kind of break things up, I just started with my main question, like, what are we preserving as Christians? Like, what is it that we need to hold on to? And I thought the simple answer was the gospel. But I often see that get, like, construed and mixed up in, like, all the things we're trying to care for as Christians. So I split it up into three main jobs that I think we have as a Christian. I could be wrong, but this is what I think. I think we need to have faith, we need to glorify God, and grow the kingdom. Right? And so this church has always preached relationship over religion, right? That relationship with God, that's the gospel. But however, we get caught up in, like, the religional aspect of things. It becomes almost a routine. One example, like, some churches, they'll grow, and then, oh, we're comfy here. Like, there's nothing else that I need. And so I kind of compare that to how salt preserves. So when I was doing my research, I was like, how does salt preserve anything? Like, because I'm only used to a fridge, right? And so I looked it up, and it, like, sucks all the water out of it and then stops all growth from happening. And I was like, man, that's kind of like when we get comfortable in our faith, we just, like, have all this good information, and it's like, where's it going? We're keeping it in. There's no outside growth. And so I have a verse in Romans. Yeah, Romans 10, 14 through 15. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And Mark told me to take a sip of water right here. All right. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so we have the good news. But we just get too comfortable. We get complacent. And when we get complacent, like it says in Matthew 5:13, we lose our taste. There's no salty taste to us. And God says when there's no taste, we're good. It's good for nothing. So we have all this information, no taste. What is it good for? However, this also gets mixed up. The gospel is not going to hell for this, that, and the other. The gospel is God loves us, and through that we can be delivered from our sins. And it becomes counterproductive, saying you're going to hell for this, that, and the other. Because I go to school in a public school. And it becomes a problem being a Christian. People are almost mad at you for it. Because they think we're judgmental or cliquey. And so that's from lack of the gospel in our preaching. The gospel will save you and deliver you from your sins. That's all that will. And so one of the best forms of spreading the gospel that I've seen is through FCA. I lead it at my school. It's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's not only athletes, but it works really well. I have a picture of the Four Simple Truths is what they call it. It's the easiest way to spread the gospel. And I think it's the approach more people need to take. The heart stands for God loves us. People don't realize that. People think he's judgmental, whatever. He loves us. He's looking out for us. But we will mess up. We will sin. That's the division symbol. And that's another thing. People think we're hypocrites. We think we don't sin. No, we know we sin. But we know that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And then that question mark is a big one. That's what are you going to do about it? Like, what are we preserving? Are we going to go spread the gospel? Are we going to be complacent? Whatever we're going to do, we need to be preserving the gospel. And when we preserve the gospel, we're the salt. We have flavor. And the kingdom will spread like fire. That's all I have. I'm sorry I didn't have a joke about 270 drivers in there. But you guys have a good day.
Everybody. My name is Cadence Jefferson, if you don't know. So we just heard about how salt gives flavor and how salt preserves, and I'm going to talk to you about being a city on a hill and how to be the light. This verse that we're talking about today is about salt and light, and here comes the light. The light's about to shine. So basically, I'm going to talk about how living in your sin and living in your temptations can drive people away from Christ, and why it's so important to constantly and consistently live in your faith and walk out your faith. So I'm going to share a few stories from my life about how I've learned that everybody gives into temptation and everybody sins. So at my job, I work with kids, and I've very quickly learned that they act very different around their parents versus their friends. You may not know your children. You do not know your child. You don't. I have some kids who are horrible at the school, and then when their mom comes to pick them up, they're like, "Hi, mommy," and then they like go up and hug, and they're the sweetest little angel, and that is not how they act around their friends at all. And basically, you'll see that their friend, they're not supposed to climb on the mats, and their friend is climbing on the mats, and they're like, they look around, they're like, "Is anybody watching me?" And they see that, you can see it in their head, they're like, "I know I shouldn't be doing this," but then they go do it anyway because their friend is doing it. Or they'll just choose to make the wrong choices, and you can tell that they know it's wrong. And so kids give in to temptation, teenagers give in to temptation. That's where I see it most, because I'm a teenager. And I have a teacher who the other day, he was talking about how when his students graduate, if they request to follow him on social media, he might follow them back. And he talks about how almost every single person in their bio, it'll be some sort of scripture, a Bible verse, and then their whole feed, all of their posts is just crazy stuff, all these sinful things that nobody should be doing, no matter what age. And it's just, it's sad to see that we are being hypocrites as Christians. I go to a Christian school, so a lot of the kids that the students that he would have been following back would say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ," but to see the hypocrisy on their page is just sad. And we also see this hypocrisy and this sin in adults as well, because you guys aren't, you know, immune from this. So adults, when I was younger, I hung out with adults more than I did kids, because that's just what I preferred. I'm not really sure why. But I learned very quickly that they act differently depending who they're around in their settings. Like, we'd be at church in the morning, and then after we'd all go hang out at someone's house, and it's a completely different person. That is not the same person that I saw up singing on the stage. That's not the same person that I was talking to in the pew or on the chairs just a minute ago. And there'll be family functions or something, and you'll see them doing something that you wouldn't have thought they would do. And it's just, people act differently in different situations. But as Christians, we need to learn to be consistent and act as Jesus does all the time. The hypocrisy is something that someone, a non-Christian, would see, and they'll go, "Oh, I don't want to be a part of that. They don't practice what they preach. They're reading and talking about the Bible, and they're not living it out." And that pushes people away. There's many people in this room, including me, who could have chosen to let that push them away, but they didn't. And there's so many more people out there that are looking at us, and they're like, I can't be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that because of this hypocrisy. And so I'm going to read a verse from 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. And it reads, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So instead of giving in to those temptations and those sins, we need to learn to give that up and live in a holy way, live set apart. In our scripture for today, we see the example of being a light, being a light that shines, being a city on a hill, that set apart person, that holy person. And the scripture says that we shouldn't let the basket like be over us. And in this case, that basket would be temptation and sin. We need to uncover the basket or the bowl from our light and let it shine. Let everybody see that, and don't let your sins cover it up. we need to not only act Christ-like and as Jesus did all the time, but we need to let people see it and show it to everybody and not hide that. So be that city on a hill, be that light for somebody, for everybody, and just let your light shine.
Second one of the day. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All righty. Thank you. You guys are better than the first service. You guys caught on very quickly. I'm very glad. So, good morning to everyone. My name is Will Singleton. Many of you have seen me around, and some have actually gotten the pleasure of meeting me. I come from Mount Calvary Church of God in Christ over in Illinois. It's a 30-minute drive every morning, every Sunday. We do it because we love the church. But first, I would like to give honor and thanks and praise to God, who is the head of my life. Then I would like to give honor to the pastors of this church and the youth pastor here, David Clay. So now, as you have already noticed, I come from a Pentecostal church. So I believe in a very interactive service. So when I say amen, I expect you to say
amen.
All right, thank you. Now, in the previous service, I said, oh, oh, oh. Thank you. Thank you. All right, some people got it. Some people got it. But that's okay. But I want to teach you guys a new one. I want to teach you guys a new one. So in a church I come from, we say, God is good. And all the time. All right, y'all already know. Thank you. I feel so comfortable here. Thank you so much. I thought I was going to have to teach you guys that one, but I'm very glad you guys know it. So that's great. So, for my portion of this service, I will be focusing on Matthew 5:16, which says, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As disciples, we're kind of advertisements for Christ by the things we do and say. Now, that may sound a little silly or weird, but it's true. The first part of the scripture calls us to let our light shine. So, since we are advertisements, we're called, in other words, to show off or represent the Lord through our good works. We're here to rep Christ, all right? But like any good advertisement, there's something that makes us stick out from the rest. There's something special about us. We're different from the rest, right? And it says in Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We are called to be the light of this world. We're in a world of darkness and sin. We have to be the light, different from the others, stand apart. So now, you may ask, how do these good works point to God? Because just by holding the door open for someone or saying bless you when they sneeze doesn't make them want to follow Christ. That's a nicety, basically. But in the scripture, we're being instructed to treat others right, to live holy, and to obey God's word. An example of this is like how teens nowadays are always out for revenge, they're trying to get back at one another, and in our own words, we're trying to get it back in blood. But the Bible says in Peter 3:9, "Do not repay evil for evil." God is calling us to be the, in our own words, the bigger man. He's calling us to take the high road. He's calling us to be the better person, to love others, and be a high be above reproach. God has called us to be different, by choosing the right choices and spreading the same love that he has for us. This is all an effort for the world to notice us and want to follow and know who we follow. In the last part of the scripture, it speaks about glorifying the Father, which is in heaven, and doing all these good things so that people will give credit where credit is due. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you, thank you. So, back to our advertisement analogy. We see that a plethora of companies use logos or stamps or slogans to make sure that other people know who made these great products and glorify their work. So in my yard, we have a True Green sign. They come to do our yard. People look at our yard and they're like, oh, the True Green did a great job there. They might call them up and try to get their lawn done, right? But in the same way, we are called to be the light and in turn illuminate the path to ones who don't know it or don't know where it is. We're like flashlights almost, you know? We're trying to illuminate the light of the world, right? So that when people wonder why we are so loving, why we are so different, why we are so nice, why we're following all these rules, why we have a good relationship with the Father, that they know it's because of our Heavenly Father loved us. So I want to leave you guys with a great saying from my FCA coach. She once said to us, if you want to live like no one else later, you have to live like no one else now. And that's very important, because the way you live now is going to determine how you live later on in life. And that's true for all of us, even as teens. And so that goes along with the scripture, Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. It's basically called the narrow and wide gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. This has called us to illuminate the path, the narrow path, that all people have to take so that they may have eternal life. We have to illuminate this path so others can see it and others can follow it. That is our job. That is what the job that God has given us, and we must do it. Thank you.
Give our students another round of applause. Fantastic. And I want to do some thank yous here. I want to give a special thanks to Mount Calvary Church of God in Christ in Illinois for letting us borrow Will. That was a thank you to that congregation. And I also want to give a shout out to all of our students who were taking care of the necessary background and technical stuff. I want to thank Dayton, Kel, Levi, Miles, Howard, Christopher, Parker, David, Emily, Kara, and Ellie. Thank you guys so much. I hope Howard's up there. I can't actually see any of y'all. And I'd also be remiss without saying a special word of thanks to the adult leaders who put in, you would not believe the amount of time and energy and effort that they put in as well to making this happen today. So by name, and this is always risky because if you're me, you leave people out, but here we go. I want to thank Lou and Nicole Ortiz, who have already been highlighted for their legendary status. I want to thank Brennan and Megan Havard, Scott and Jen Palermo, Teresa Ford, Debbie and John Price, Leah and Gary Weber, Terrence Blackwell, Joyce Bell, Rusty Parker, our new Master of Divinity, Jim Villalobos, and my own lovely wife, Rachel, and I want to give a special shout out to our very own Brett Ford, who as of today is old enough to rent a car. So happy birthday. And thank you to all parents who have made this possible as well by supporting your students, bringing them here, allowing them to practice. Thank you so much for everything that you've done. And final kind of reflection here. So you heard it from the students multiple times. They brought this up in the course of their messages. Going into the world, going into public schools, going even into to private schools and in that context. We're going into a world increasingly that where Christianity is not the default, right? It's not cool anymore. People don't necessarily think it's a great thing that you are a Christian. In fact, it's starting to become more of the opposite. People, when they hear that you are a Christian, when you preach the gospel, that you have dedicated yourself to Jesus Christ, they have all kinds of ideas about what that means, and a lot of those ideas are very negative. And let's be clear, like Cadence was saying, some of that we have brought upon ourselves. Some of that I have brought upon myself through hypocrisy and not living the way that Christ has called. And there are other factors as well, but the point is, going into this world right now, especially as a teenager, when you're dealing with a lot of other stuff, when you're trying to figure out who you are as a person, what you really believe, what you stand for, what you want to do with your life, as you're trying to start to figure all of that out, going into this world and trying to be salt and light, let's be clear, that's a challenge. That's not easy. So let us be in prayer for these students, for our teenagers, as they seek to follow the call of Christ to be salt and light in this world. But I also don't want to be overly negative here. In fact, I don't want to be that way at all. I'm actually really excited, okay? I think that this is a great moment to be alive and to be a Christian. And the reason I'm saying that is as the world, in a lot of ways, gets spiritually darker, that becomes a better backdrop for this light to shine. And you don't have to be, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not religious, I'm not here saying, like, we Christians have got it all figured out, we're amazing, the rest of you people need to get it together. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that you don't have to be a Christian to look around at the world and see that what we're doing as a society ain't working. I can't open a newspaper anymore without seeing another mass shooting. I can't look at Google News without seeing some fresh disaster that has befallen our society. But as things get darker, the light becomes brighter. As the world shows its rottenness more and more, the need for salt becomes more and more apparent. And God knows what he's doing. This is not catching God by surprise. He is sovereign in the affairs of men, and he is raising up a new generation of Christian leaders to carry the mantle forward. And he is preparing these students and others around our world for such a time as this. So it's an honor and a privilege to be involved in that and to work with these students. I am extremely grateful for that. Let's pray.